Acts 4, verses 36 and 37. Acts 4, but you'll need chapter 9 quite a lot. Acts 4, 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. The character I have this morning is Joseph. And we wouldn't know him commonly by that. That's the only reference to his name. But there are many references to the name that he earned in life. And that was Barnabas. Barnabas means son of consolation. And I've been looking at this character a few times. There were problems in taking it because although there were many references, and you can see his contribution in the early church is a very important one, that is there also. Yet at the same time, there seemed to be, I could say there was a low there, but it was very difficult to find a high because he lived on such a high level all the while. But somehow or another, I was determined to do Barnabas. So I'm doing Barnabas, whether you agree with the high or not, all right? So that from it we can learn something of a very beautiful, a very lovely character. Now, our theme is still on believing men and women, and from the scriptures, from those times in their lives, through all sorts of circumstances, sometimes sin, sometimes sorrow, sometimes distress, all sorts of things, sometimes mistakes they've made. They go through a period of a spiritual low. And they know, they get to know that they're in that state. At the beginning, maybe they don't know that they've gone cold towards God. A spiritual low. But there are times, I agree, when animosity comes in and that kind of thing, that person usually is not aware that they're in a low for some considerable time. But then it comes very hard on them. So I would say that, I'd make that distinction, I think. There are others as well. And then there's a spiritual high when God lifts us. And I think perhaps the lower we have been, the higher he lifts us. So those who have the hardest time in the end are going to get the best bargain that they are lifted high. And most of us will have known many a low and perhaps many a high in our lives as well. Now in looking at these in scripture, I felt they might help us. Some will not really touch us, and others will, but somewhere, one of us is helped with different ones at different times. And in unexpected ways as well. But in the life of the Christian, we have these times. I've had plenty of lows, I'm sure, had highs as well. And I'm sure that you have had the same kind of thing when you felt downhearted. And when you've been downhearted, you're spiritually low as well. You don't get much out of your quiet times, if you do them at all at that time. Not much out of family worship and so on. We live in the body and in this fallen world. And it is inevitable that things will come against us. And the world wants us to be like the world and to react in exactly the same way as the world. And it is hard not to react in the same way because we were there. We were there, and it's so very easy to be the same. Now then, may I ask you a question? Are you a man or a woman of grace this morning? You know, not saying to other people, I am a man of grace. But could you say in your own heart, yes, I am a man of grace by the grace of God. I am a woman of grace by the grace of God. Or if not, that you are desiring to be that. As you can see, the grace of God has entered your life, but you have much to learn, as we all have. But that you are steadfastly pursuing God. Like in the children's story, you're filling your fountain pen every day so that you might follow him. Now, his gracious humility, I'm talking about, but we'll remember him as Barnabas, not Joseph, because nobody would have known him as Joseph, only at the very beginning. Barnabas, his gracious humility. He recognizes the hand of God. There's a man called Saul of Tarsus. Now, there's going to be here, inevitably, and I felt a bit awkward about it, when you deal with characters, New Testament particularly, that they crisscross something, and there are going to be things that are in common. And there are things in common here with John Mark and with Paul. So, but they're looked at from the viewpoint of Barnabas, so there is a difference. Now, he recognized the hand of God on Saul of Tarsus. Now, can you imagine how difficult that was for people? Saul was a murderer, and he was a persecutor. He sought out not only men, but women and children, and testified against them, put to death. And there's one phrase in the book of Acts where he said, he breathed out threatenings. He's just full of hatred. You know, once hatred takes over, it's a terrible thing. You just can't think good at all. It's only that comes to your mind, and you breathe it out, and you express it, and you're not ashamed of it. And he was doing it in the name of religion. He was a Jew, and he loved the faith of Judaism. He loved the Jewish faith. And he felt that he was not being a bad man. He felt he was being a very good man by killing this rot that's occurring. These followers of Jesus Christ. So in a way, if you had met him, he'd have said, I'm a righteous man, and I'm doing the right thing. He would really have felt like that. So you're really against quite a hard character to convince him that he was doing the wrong thing. God alone, you know, we can't. Only God can show them that they're doing the wrong thing. Now, in verse 26 in chapter 9, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was the disciple. Now, you can see it said in Scripture. So when he came and joined them and thought they'd be very glad to see him, they're all very quiet and they don't want to say anything. They were afraid of him. They got reason to be afraid of him, because he had the high priest behind him, had all these authorities and papers he'd had behind him to persecute Christians. All these things they knew about him, and his name was a terror throughout the land. And so when he came amongst them, they were afraid. Now, you would have been afraid. Let me give you an extreme example. I know it's a little bit, but to make the point, we know how terribly cruel Hitler was, don't we? You know, incredibly cruel, or Himmler. And if they came to us here and said, I want to become a church member, I become a Christian, well, you know, we would be afraid, and we would be dubious. And we'd say, well, could such a murderer ever become a Christian? Could it ever happen? And especially if you had suffered, you know, could it ever happen? Now, I'm trying to show to you what a big hump they had to overcome to even look at him, let alone talk to him, to look at him even. They were afraid, and it is very understandable. But in verse 27 in chapter 9, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. How, you know, the way on Damascus, when Paul also had that intervention, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And we know he became a Christian then, and he also was appointed to be a minister to the Gentiles. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken unto him, and how he had preached daily at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And that this Saul of Tarsus had preached daily in the name of Jesus, and that he was genuine, and that Christians, people became Christians, and the Christians were already believers, were edified in the faith, and the saints were comforted through Saul of Tarsus. And so Barnabas, now a son of consolation, come now, don't be afraid of him. Really now, because the Lord has revealed to my heart, and I have listened to him and spoken to him, and I've seen him preach, and I know his testimony. He's genuine, he really is. He has a terrible background. That's true. He has a vile background. He's very much aware of that. He feels himself to be the worst of all sinners. He feels himself like that. But God has forgiven him. And Jesus loves him. And he loves Jesus. So Barnabas, you can see there, you can see how from that incident, son of consolation, that he brought him to the people, to the apostles, like this. Now, at the beginning, you'll find the mention of them, both of them, Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas and Paul, because Saul became Paul, didn't he? But then you find a switch. Not Barnabas and Paul, but Paul and Barnabas. Because the gifts of Paul, given by God, were so evident. There was no shred of jealousy in Barnabas' heart. Although he had brought him, he would have been a nobody. He would have been a Christian, but he'd been left just an ordinary Christian worshipping in Jerusalem or somewhere. But he would have been left, I don't know, nobody would have trusted him in any way. But Barnabas really lifted him and brought him amongst the leaders of the church. He's a son of consolation. He saw in this man the hand of God and didn't mind at all when the names were switched round from Barnabas and Saul to Paul and Barnabas. What do you think of that? Think about it. There's a saying which I don't dispute, but I think too much is made of it. A friend in need is a friend indeed. I agree. If I were greatly in need and a friend helps me, he is a friend in need. But I have found when I'm in need or when I'm down, I will have many friends who will help me. You found that? But you prosper and you do well, you won't have so many friends. They will appear to be friends, but there won't be many who will rejoice in your prosperity. You put it like this. One person said, well, I got one O-level. And then this one says, I got 10 O-levels. And the person with the one O-level from his heart says, I'm really glad for you. That's grace. Do you see what I mean? That's grace. Or where your neighbor's son has done, or daughter's done much better than yours, and you're really glad for your neighbor. That's grace. When you can rejoice in the prosperity of another. This son of consolation was able to rejoice in the prosperity of other. Now, it wasn't just be for Barnabas. We must too be like that. Now, in Acts 12, Barnabas and Saul are sent forth. In 12, verse 3, I think, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them on their way. They were co-workers. They worked together. They were great friends. And it's an account of their partnership in chapter 13, verse 49. The word prospered, we are told. And in verse 50 of 13, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul. Now, there's a switch of names. Against Paul and Barnabas. They were truly workers together in prosperity and in adversity. And there was a lovely relationship between them. Barnabas knew that Paul was the preacher. Barnabas knew that. But he was with him 100% and loved him and supported him. That's the kind of friend to have. Lovely. Son of consolation. Are you a son or a daughter of consolation? Now, secondly, his generous spirit. There is a sad episode. Now, we've had this episode in John Mark's life, but this is now the same episode but from another person. You see, when there are two or three involved in something, you'll hear this one's account, that one's account, and the other one's account. I've long learnt the lesson of listening to both sides, or three sides, or four sides, or you come to any conclusion. His generous spirit. It is a sad episode. John Mark had left them in disgrace. It is true. It was in disgrace. He had let down Paul and Barnabas. Remember the episode? Without even telling them. He was on a journey, a mission journey with them. And in Pamphylia, I think it was, he just went home and left them in the lurch. They needed a worker. And then let's these two down. And Paul regarded that. Remember Paul's character now. Don't blame Paul. Paul is a straight character. Right, wrong. Straight. And he regarded this as desertion from the work of God. And so he'd have to really convince Paul before Paul would receive him back into the work. Now, a problem arises. A little later, Paul and Barnabas are going to continue preaching. And in chapter 15, verse 36, these words, And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Now then, that Paul often did that. Sometimes even in Lystra and Derbe, where he was stoned and left as dead, and that was some stoning, he would go back and see how the Christians were. He was a very, very brave man. And so it was not an unusual thing for him to say, now come on Barnabas, let's go back and visit the churches and see how they're getting on. Are they encouraged? Are they discouraged? Are they afraid? Are they being persecuted? And for us to help them in the word of God. Then Barnabas in verse 37 says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark, whose surname was Mark. He was determined. Now, don't think because he's son of consolation that he's just a kind of a soft person, you know, that you can push him around. Not that. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Now, Paul reacts. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, and departed when he departed from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now then, two good men disagree. They don't quarrel in a worldly way, but two good men disagree, and that is possible. Of course they can. You can have a different view on the thing. Two good men disagree. And Paul, in his direct manner, says he's not coming because he'll only desert us again. And Barnabas, remember, he was related in some account. I worked him out that Barnabas is his uncle, but in one commentary I found that they were cousins, so I really don't know which. They are related. And Barnabas, is a gentle heart and son of consolation, says, well, let's take him. No, Paul, not take him. And the words, you know, become very sharp here. We are told that they became words that were almost like angry words. They are sharp. And the contention in verse 39 was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. That's very sad. Paul went one way and Barnabas another. One from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Now, I don't think Barnabas left Paul in any bad spirit. He just felt for poor old John Mark. It is typical of his character. But it would be a very low for him. Now, why would it be a low? Because it was a lovely thing that he did, in a way. You might take Paul's side and say, well, I'd have been exactly the same, and you could be right. You might take Barnabas' side, and you might be right there. You know, you didn't know who could be right or wrong. It's one of those situations. Barnabas took John Mark under his wing. Why was it Barnabas low? It hurts him to disagree with a friend. See, when you have a lovely character like this, who really, he could have said to Paul, I put you on the map. You were a nobody, nobody was afraid of you, and you were a rotten person before you were converted. I know the things you did, and I brought you before for the apostles, and I gave a good name for you. He could have said that. He didn't do that. He kept the topic in hand. I think Barnabas would make it. I think John Mark would make it. And Paul said, no, I don't think so. And so one had one view and one had the other. But what would be Barnabas' law with this? And I think it would be mine. I think it would be yours too. If you had somebody that you had loved and known for many years, and suddenly there are sharp words, you don't react, but you're hurt, you know. And not hurt pouts now, in a kind of worldly way. But it affects you. And it's a kind of a low. And if anybody wants to be comforted just then with you, you'd be too introverted in yourself and nursing your wound. And you'd be saying, well, why did Paul? Why was he? We've been friends so long. There's no animosity in Paul. I know he didn't quarrel exactly. He was so determined. And you can imagine in Barnabas' heart, remember these are men and women just like us and have feelings like us, of like passions as ourselves. But this man is a son of consolation, and even in his low, even, and he may have been disappointed, and he may also have regretted words he said. Yes, Christians can say, A Christian can say words that he's sorry he said them to that person, and he wished that he had never said them. And it may well be that in the case of Barnabas, that he was defending really a very poor case, that he said words he shouldn't have, and that he was sorry that he said that. That would grieve him very much as a sensitive man. Now then, we know of such times and of such hurts between friends and those who have loved each other, and it hurts. And I don't know really if that hurt really ever goes away. They will always remember it. There are such times in our lives, like a summer storm, arises so very, very quickly, you know, and we react, and the old man in us, or not the old man, is what the old man used to be with the new man now, that old nature, will somehow leave some of its marks, and we react in ways we shouldn't. And the departure between them was a sad one. That was his law. And I think of all the laws you've had, that's the one I understand best of all. We have those kind of hurts, and we think sometimes of those friends and the lovely times we had with them, and that we, although we've not broken relationship, we don't walk together anymore. It's a law. You had that kind of law? His grateful heart. Now, in Colossians 4, verse 10. Now, you might think I'm pushing it a little here, but I'm asking you now to be patient. I see it, all right? In Colossians 4, verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow servant, Paul is speaking, saluteth you, and Marcus, that's John Mark, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandments, touching whom he received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Receive. Paul is saying in that verse, Aristarchus and Marcus is sending greetings, and also, you know, Barnabas, and you know him well, and you know how he's related to John Mark, to Marcus. Marcus, you have received many commandments also. Marcus is in the work. Receive him. And Peter, I'm with the verse down here, but Peter also in the book of Acts treated him as a son. And we believe, don't we, that the book of Gospel of Mark is really Peter's Gospel, but written by Mark. We believe that, but we call it the Gospel of Mark, but it shows the harmony that was between them, and shown that John Mark was received back. But we're not talking about John Mark, we're talking about Barnabas. Now, who would hear this news? Barnabas is the kind of man that if he heard of the success of another person, he rejoiced. Is that consistent? I think so. That when he heard Paul and John Mark are working together again, Peter and John Mark are working together again, and his heart would leap with joy. What a man. It would, you know. It would leap with joy. And I can well imagine that to be so. Now then, John Mark's restoration by Paul and Peter would bring great joy to this man. And I would call that his high. Now that's Barnabas. I haven't quite finished this. That's Barnabas. Son of consolation. He brings Paul, well, out of people feared him. And they used to be terrified of him. But he's converted. He's brought to Barnabas by the Lord. He brings him to the apostles and gives him really a good recommendation. He's a son of consolation. He's a person who desires peace and well-being between people. Now, there wouldn't be a good thing, the Christian church today, and by Christian church I mean the evangelical one, and I mean the one that is faithful to the word of God. Yet, Satan is playing havoc. What we need? We need Barnabases. Don't we? We need Barnabases. We need men like Paul too, who are strong and able to go and stand in difficult places and preach and suffered a lot, Barnabas suffered a lot too, but they were different in their characters, different, views of God. It's a lovely thing to be a Barnabas. Think about it now with me. What does it really mean? It means really, you know. And there's another one here shows you that in 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul and Barnabas are treated, he talks of them as equals. So it seems as the rift, if there was a rift, I don't know, if there was a rift, they are together again. So all that is healed, and nothing could be a greater joy to the heart of Barnabas. Now, the church at large needs sons like this. What is it? Now, in the Old Testament, I must have read to you, I don't know how many times, from the book of Psalms, these words. And I think that they are related. And if God is going to bless us, and maybe there are signs now, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sons of consolation. Lovely. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. I know that isn't the condition of blessing, but that is the situation when God does bless. He leads us to be like this. Or maybe only a few in the church. But he does. There may be... Well, we could call them this. Listen to this verse. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you remember the hymn we sing sometimes? Words flow apace when we complain and fill our fellow creatures here with a sad story of our complaints. He said, she said, I said, he said, she said, I said. You know? And why should he do that? Why should he do that? Words absolutely flow apace. Even in the quiet people, words flow apace when we complain. Oh, it's easy. Isn't it a good thing in a Christian to pause and think, whether I like it or not, I'm a man or a woman of grace. I will not do that. I will not do that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lovely. The children of God. And as we go our ways, that we leave the Savior of Christ behind us, as we go our way, that we bring peace wherever we go, and in heaven we are called the children of God. Of God, Barnabas, the son of consolation, who would break his heart at sad things and rejoice in the joy of others. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in our Saviour's name, and we worship thee and praise thee and thank thee for thy goodness to us. Hear us for thy name's sake. Amen.